कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा। कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे भजनी हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम राम
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
हरे हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
We welcome all of you for the evening session on behavioral science for youth. Today we are discussing a very, very important topic on the balancing extremes. So, the picture that you see in the front cover of this session today depicts the punishment of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama had killed the five children of Draupadi. And Draupadi broke down to tears. Arjuna had promised her that Ashwatthama has fled from there taking a chariot, but he will capture him and bring him. And he had told her that I will cut off his head and bring it and put it at your feet, and you can stand on that and take a bath. So Arjuna and Krishna boarded the chariot and chased behind Ashwatthama. And then they captured Ashwatthama and brought him to Draupadi. When Draupadi saw the fellow, immediately she remembered he is son of Dronacharya, the martial arts guru of Arjuna and other Pandavas. So she felt sympathy for him as a Brahmana. As you see in the picture, she is telling Arjuna not to kill him, not to punish. So she is stopping. On the other side, you find next to Krishna standing Bhima with his sword. He is telling Arjuna, if you are not going to kill, I will finish him. So Bhima wants to kill, and Draupadi doesn't want to see Ashwatthama killed. So there is a direct difference in opinion between the two. And Yudhishthira Maharaj heard the reasoning of Draupadi and and sided with Draupadi. Nakula Sahadeva also sided with Draupadi. And Krishna and Bhima were on the other side, opposite side. And Arjuna had to make a decision. So he saw two extremes. So what do you think Arjuna did? Krishna told Arjuna, you have to satisfy both. Which means both parties have to be satisfied. How to do that? One party says kill him, another party says spare him. So all of us can face such situations in our life, having to decide between two extremes. But Arjuna was very intelligent, empowered by Krishna in his heart. He cut off the jewel on the head of Ashwatthama and drove him off like an animal, bereft of all his opulences. And both parties were happy, because for a Kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. So Ashwatthama was dishonored and driven away. Since his life was spared, Draupadi was happy. Since he was humiliated and driven away, Bhima was happy that he was sufficiently punished. So Arjuna could arrive at a balance between the two situations. In our lives also, like you see, this boy is confused which one to decide. So I will show you some of the situations that you all are likely to face in your life. Like this fellow standing and confused. Sometimes devotees have this confusion. One of the things that I am assuming is most of the devotees who are watching this show are practicing devotees, chanting at least 8 rounds or 16 rounds. Some of your initiated devotees also. So, therefore, some of the examples I may give, if it is not understandable to you because you are a beginner or you are just chanting few rounds, then you ask your seniors as I proceed with the slides. You can take guidance from your mentors and seniors and get clarification. Sadhana, when I say here, I mean our chanting. Sometimes our chanting is not yet over, but we are preaching to a new boy. At night you see that 4-5 rounds are left. So one faces tug of war. How to balance? I want to complete my rounds and at the same time I want to preach to people. Sometimes sadhana also, sadhana, it includes your study of Prabhupada books also. Sometimes, you know, should I take care of my spiritual life or should I give out? People have a question, they face a tug of war. Sometimes you are preaching to somebody till late night and the next day morning sadhana suffers. Similarly, study versus Krishna consciousness, college study. So many students find the tussle between the two. Should I just focus on my academics? I can put it academics, I think that will be making more sense, I think. So, should I focus on my academics or should I focus on Krishna consciousness? What to do? One may be confused about it also. Let me first get good marks in my studies and then come to Krishna consciousness. That doesn't happen sometimes. You go too far in academics and you forget Krishna and get not only carried away by academics, you get carried away by many bad habits also because of no Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, in the name of Krishna consciousness, some people have compromised on their academics, considering academics to be mundane and material. They didn't study well, due to which the parents became upset and their marks went down and they had difficulty in getting fixed up in a job and everything. So how to balance both? Similarly, sometimes we hear that if you do lots of service for Krishna, like Hanuman did so much service, Arjuna did so much service, so I also want to do something very great for Prabhupada. And then in the name of doing lot of service, your health can be affected. Sometimes some devotees have got sick because of overworking, burning out themselves. Similarly, taking in means studying Prabhupada books and giving out means preaching. Sometimes people, in the name of preaching, it's like extracting water from a well. Keep on extracting water and there is no more water left. So, like once a farmer had a well which was like full with water and all other wells were drying up in his village. So when people came and asked, can you please give me a bucket of water, he would give them. And in this way, after a few days, one fellow came with an 80 HP motor. He said, "Sir, can I just put this pipe inside?" And he allowed him. And what do you think happened? That fellow started drawing so much water that eventually this fellow's well ran dry. So now if his well has to have water to supply others, it has to have a connection with a big body of water somewhere, reservoir, from where they should draw the water, and then it can supply it to others. In the same manner, sometimes the preacher may not get time to study the books, and he may be preaching. So therefore it is very important, imperative, that the preacher takes in and gives out, and then takes in and gives out. So what is the reservoir that he should be in touch with? That is, the reservoir is Krishna himself. Krishna is giving Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna has arranged for the Bhagavatam to be spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit. So these are all like the reservoir of unlimited water. So by connecting with Gita, Bhagavatam, we can keep taking in, and we get a lot of nourishment. Then we can give out to the world in the form of preaching. So we call it as a Janma Sarthaka Kori Kara Para Upakar. So people wonder, should I do Para Upakar or should I do Janma Sarthaka Kori? Which one we should do? Sometimes we find ourselves in one of the two extremes. Please read it. Who has the mic? Keeping relationship with non-devotee relatives versus safeguarding one's Krishna consciousness. This is another challenging question for us. Sometimes relatives tell you that, "Oh, these days you are not coming to our home. Why don't you come on the vacation, spend some days with us?" So you go there and you find they are reading so many cinema magazines, watching TV, full-blown TV is going on. They are talking so many mundane things. You don't like the atmosphere there. So you don't like to go. Then you want to safeguard your Krishna consciousness. But sometimes you wonder, in the name of safeguarding my Krishna consciousness, I have cut off from all my relatives and I have no sambandha, no relation with anybody. So which one I should do? Should I connect with them or should I keep away from them? That's another question. Similarly, many people want to know now what is happening between India, China, and what is happening to the corona situation. So sometimes you get into reading newspaper or watching some YouTube clips and then you get lost, because there are hundreds and thousands of corona videos now in YouTube. Sometimes after you see for 1 hour, you become more afraid than before. You get corona phobia. So should I read newspaper and watch the world news happening, or should I protect my consciousness from impurities? Sometimes in the name of watching news, you get into the internet and you go elsewhere and you get lost. And it can be very detrimental to our consciousness, because in YouTube, when you open, there are so many dirty pictures come. If our consciousness is not pure, we will not be able to immediately cancel them. We can get into some wrong track. On the other hand, if you don't know the news, then people say, "Hari, you don't know what is happening in the world around you? You are so ignorant." So then we also feel sometimes, I should know what is happening in the world around. So how to balance these things? So this is, now I have given you sufficient examples of extremes. So you know, if you are facing these extremes, this seminar can give you some clue on how do you resolve the situations. Yeah, read it. Mike.
Balance is possible by cultivating mode of goodness behavior.
Yeah. Sthairyam is the word used in Bhagavad Gita. Steadiness. Steadiness is possible if you cultivate sattva guna. That means you can find a balance between the two when we are in sattva guna. And you will see how it is.
In mode of passion, one is thrown off back and forth like a pendulum.
Yeah. Like you have seen the pendulum, like in a clock, in the old clocks used to have pendulum. In mode of passion, sometimes you go for this, sometimes you go for that. Like one fellow came to me and asked me, one man, "Sir, should I put money in the private bank or should I put it in a government bank?" So I told him, "You have to decide that." He said, "No, I'm just seeking a little advice from you. In a private bank gives me 24%. Then I said, "Okay, put in the private bank. But the problem is it can go diwala, bankrupt, you see. Okay, then put in the government bank. But government bank gives only 8%. No? So, okay, because you say government bank is very safe, 8% you take, and but it will be very little money. Huh? I can't expand my money. Okay, then put in the private bank. But that will go diwala, what to do? Huh? So there are people like this. Huh? So in mode of passion, a person is unable to decide. Hmm? He is always like a pendulum, going back and forth. Then I told him, okay, you put half here, half there. Of course, I never gave this advice after coming to Krishna consciousness. I am telling you in my college days. Because after coming to Krishna consciousness, brahmachari sadhus, we don't give any financial advice. That is left to the grihasthas. I am telling about my college days. So, in mode of passion, one wants lot of money. At the same time, the risk involved in making lot of money constantly creates tension for him. In mode of goodness, a person will understand, it is better to have my money safe. Okay, half the money at least I put in government, half the money I put in private, and I have to run the risk. If I lose money, it's all right. Be prepared for it or whatever. The idea of what I am saying is, in passion, one increases tension because one makes snap decisions and one makes decisions and does not stick to it. One changes it. Like many of us have experienced, we decided to get up very early in the morning and we may do for 2-3 days and again we switch back to the old timings. We have experience of taking New Year resolutions. You know, like sometimes people, you go to the gym or you go to the yoga studios. On 1st January there will be a big crowd because a lot of people register themselves. From this new year I am going to start yoga. And you may think, I may not get any place to practice here. But then you wait for a week, you know. Wait for a couple of weeks, the crowd will become 1/4. Because people make resolutions, but they don't stick to it because of passion. Yeah.
In mode of ignorance, one is helplessly frustrated.
Yeah. Like, you know, some people suffer from obesity and doctor tells them not to eat junk food. But when they see the junk food, they can't say no to it. Due to the greed for enjoying it. And if someone is in ignorance, they are helplessly tossed. They are slapped and tossed and dragged and whipped and punched and pounded and buried. They have no power. People in tamaguna. So Prabhupada uses the word helpless. So tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna. Tamaguna means helpless or foolish. Rajaguna, Prabhupada calls it as active. Sattvaguna, he calls it as happy. Foolish, active, happy. Yeah.
Therefore, anyone seriously considering to bring about a change in one's lifestyle and habits should cultivate mode of goodness behavior, which is a favorable ground for balanced lifestyle.
Yeah. So, now this only Krishna says in this one. This is a famous verse. Yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta svapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. Yes.
Lord Krishna himself says in Gita that one who eats, sleeps, recreates too much or too little cannot
too much or too little
too much or too little cannot become a perfect yogi, and therefore it is best for one to work for a balanced approach in life for succeeding in one's Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So those who eat too much or eat too less, actually most people have problem with eating too much only. Too less is very rare. People also sleep too much. Of course, some people sleep too less because of slogging hard to make more money. They sleep less, that is also likely. Or somebody is watching TV 6 hours a day regularly, or somebody is spending time with the smartphone all day. So then too much of recreation, somebody is playing cricket every day, all day. So you will find that these people, actually Krishna says that they cannot become perfect yogis, those who go for extremes, he says here. So I am not going to talk more about this mode of goodness in this session, which is outside the scope of the session, but you only got a clue here. But I am going to go to something else now. I am giving you examples here. Please read it.
Exemplary standard of sadhana, morning program, philosophical understanding.
Let us assume that you are practicing life of mode of goodness, then you will be able to do these things in a very balanced way. Yeah.
Ideal behavior, not frivolous behavior, and Vaishnava etiquette. Be able to discriminate what is small or big problem and be able to offer fitting advice. Deal in situations with mature blend of boldness versus sensitivity. Courage versus considerate.
Yeah, these are very deep points. So in order for you to be able to easily grasp these things, I have written some skits. So now we will read the skits. I'll need two mics for the devotees, two of them. So when they read the skit, I will request you to hear the skit attentively. And then there is an activity while reading the skit. I'll just show you. There are more things I've given here. Huh? Like this, there are more things are there. There are so many things given here. Weigh and decide what is the important specific situation. Is relationship important for you or goal to be achieved important for you? Because in office also, sometimes the results have to be achieved. On the other hand, if you too much force the subordinates, then the relationships are strained. And similarly, sometimes you have to clarify something and then you get into controversial arguments. If you don't clarify, then people commit blunders. Similarly, according to Deshkala Patra, we have to modify. So I have given you a lot of items here. These are all talking about balance. But in the drama, at least 5-6 of this you will learn today. We'll see here. The skit I am going to show you now covers the following themes. So what you have to do, in between the skit, any of you can raise the hand and say that, you know, this is the one that is being covered. In case you identify it. So you can see right now and grasp it. So that as the skit is proceeding, so you have to say which one point is coming where. Okay, first one is exemplary standard of sadhana. Okay, like that you can remember. Second one is non-frivolous behavior or good behavior. Third one is knowing what is small problem or big problem. Correct, no? And accordingly, fitting advice given. And then fourth one, maturity in dealing. Boldness versus sensitivity, courage versus considerate and all that. And fifth one is, what is important, you know, for you? Like for example, marriage relationships, you have two possibilities. Husband-wife quarrel increases too much. If you go for a divorce, then relationship is finished. Correct, no? Or sometimes you compromise on the goal and preserve the relationship, if that is more important for you. Correct, no? Therefore, in many family things, you will see, say if a husband says, I want to send my son to a Marathi school, and wife says, I want to send him to an international school. A husband likes more traditional and wife likes more modern. There is a tug of war, correct, no? So, tug of war shouldn't go to such an extent that they divorce. And child doesn't know whom to live with. Whether to live with mother or father, correct, no? So, when the relationship becomes important, then one out of the two can bend. If both don't bend, then the sound comes. If one says, okay, let us go your way, then they can bend. Like there was one mother and father. The mother always said, you should be very soft with the child. And the father used to be strong with the child because his rank was 20th rank in the class. So, and the father said, I'll be strong, I'll bring him to second rank at least. So, 1 year he struggled hard and the wife got fed up with the husband's behavior and the boy went up to 15th rank, he couldn't go beyond. And the wife said, now you leave him to me, just see how wonderfully I will guide him. So she was very soft. The following year again the boy went back to 20th. So then they both are wondering what to do. Then they both came together and decided to hand over the boy to a tuition teacher. Then the boy's rank went to 5th rank. So I am telling you this, sometimes if for the relationship sake they compromise on, they may be willing to bend. Therefore that's the last point, relationship versus goal to be achieved. Now let us hear the skit now. Ram and Shyam. Who is Ram? Who is Shyam here? Do you have a mic with you? Yeah. Yes, both of you.
I like calling you Yar instead of
hold
Prabhu.
It like this.
I like calling you Yar instead of Prabhu. What do you feel? Doesn't it make us feel more intimate like in our college days, Shyam?
Now that we are...
No, mic is not working.
Now that we are Vaishnava devotees, we also have to refine our speech and behavior, Ram Prabhu, so that we can make this place like Vaikuntha. We are no more hostile boys who kick other boys on their back on their birthdays, or like those who take their friends to canteen and empty their pockets. Now we praise each other's Vaishnava qualities on the birthdays and consider putting hand in others' pocket like putting hand in garbage dump.
That's right, Shyam Prabhu. I will try to stick to your standard while dealing with you. Some friends criticize Vaishnava saying that Krishna not only speaks jovially with cowherd boys, but even steals butter from others' home and even dances with young girls. They ask, why can't we people do such things if God himself can do that?
So out of the five subjects, which one is being covered? Yes? Vaishnava behavior, Vaishnava etiquette, yes? No frivolity. In dealing with devotees, we should not be frivolous, but we should show exemplary behavior. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
You see, Shiva can eat poison and not die. Sun can absorb urine and not get contaminated. Krishna can appreciate and accept service from cows, deers, trees, gopas and gopis alike without the contamination of exploitative nature. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.36, it is said that the queens of Dwarka, with all their bashful feminine gestures and impeccable beauty, could not allure Lord Krishna. On the other hand, Krishna was only attracted to their service attitude. How can Krishna steal others' property? All butter in all of the creation comes from him only. As he says in Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, we cannot artificially imitate Krishna's friends calling him nicknames, because that would be sahajayik behavior in our stage. When we become liberated Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavat devotees in a liberated platform, such intimate relationships will be revealed. Right now, we are Vaidhi Bhaktas. Let us follow our rules and regulations pertaining to our stage, Ram Prabhu.
You all are understanding now. So what was Ram feeling while talking to Shyam? Yes, can you call you Yar instead of calling you Prabhu? But then Ram gave explanation that no. Earlier we were ordinary boys, now we are Vaishnava boys now. We should call each other as Prabhu. For that, Rama argued, saying that, you know, even Krishna's friends joke with him, correct, no? Krishna's friends call him Kanai Balai, or Kanu, Balu, like that they call, correct, no? So he also said, if they are all calling nicknames like that, why can't we call nicknames to our friends? And also he said, even gopis are dancing with Krishna. Krishna is not only frivolous in speech, he is frivolous in activities also, like that he was telling. So to clarify that, Shyam spoke all these things. He said the attraction of Krishna to the queens of Dwaraka was not based on their feminine gestures, but rather it was attraction only for their service attitude, seva bhava, whether it be Dwaraka, whether it be Vrindavan. And also Krishna is not stealing anything from anyone's home, all butter in creation belongs to him. So in this way Shyam is clarifying now, let us see further.
That is well spoken, Shyam Prabhu. Sometimes I'll feel Vaidhi Bhakti is great struggle, especially rising early in the morning, chanting Japa, Srimad Bhagavatam class. Everything is like climbing a mountain for me and looks pretty artificial. I wonder whether I may bloop someday from Krishna conscious with such a struggle.
Why do you feel so, Ram Prabhu? Krishna consciousness is our innate quality, like the ability of walking is there in a small baby. Similarly, ability to love and serve Krishna with full-blown Krishna consciousness is there in all of us. We only have to revive it by Vaidhi Bhakti. Someday we all will go back to Godhead, where no one speaks, they only sing. No one walks, they only dance. No water is ordinary, every water is honey. Cows give unlimited supply of milk all day, every day. And trees are Kalpavriksha trees, which can fulfill all our desires. And sandy beach of Yamuna is like golden powder made of Chintamani gems.
Oh, thank you, Shyam Prabhu. When I hear your sweet words, I feel like flying back to Godhead. Goloka, just now, I thought my laziness to rise in the morning is a huge problem. And I thought I am finished due to my lack of interest. But hearing you, I am again feeling enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness.
What is the theme covered here? You remember out of the five? I'll show you. See here, which one is being covered? Yes? No, not that. No. What is being covered? The first one. Exemplary standard of sadhana morning program. So the talk is going on about morning program. One fellow is feeling lazy for the morning program. Other fellow is saying, why should you feel lazy? It's very important. You have to rise early in the morning. Huh? So, if you see this, this is what we have been talking. The whole talk is about, he is talking about Vaidhi Bhakti being a great struggle. Especially, rising early in the morning, he's saying. Correct, no? So, that means, you know, it is a fact that you are growing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta devotee. Feels a tug of war. On one hand, he wants to rise early in the morning and do bhakti very well and go back to Godhead. On the other hand, his lazy mind is pulling him, you know, downwards. Mind says that, oh, it's too difficult to get up in the morning. And also, you know, chanting, dancing and attending classes, it's too much. I can't do it. So, one is pulled by these two extremes. Whenever some danger comes in our life, immediately we become serious in spiritual life. And then immediately you want to go back to Godhead. And when there is no danger and everything is going your way, life is smooth sailing, then one becomes slack, lazy, you know. So that is the talk going on here. So here you find Shyam is actually encouraging him by telling the beauty of the spiritual world and everything. Actually, when people hear about spiritual world, the happiness in the spiritual world, they immediately feel that spiritual life is wonderful. But then they are not ready to pay the price to go there. See, if somebody says, oh, flight from Pune to Bombay takes only 20 minutes, but train takes 4 hours. But then you have to pay the price for the flight, correct, no? It's not that in 20 minutes you can fly without the money. Similarly, we want to fly back to Godhead, we have to pay the price. For that, the price is the morning program, correct, no? You pay the morning program price, then you can go back. Therefore, actually when we are torn between two extremes of wanting to go back to Godhead on one hand, on the other hand, laziness, one has to actually preach to one's own mind. One should tell them, my dear, lazy mind, crazy mind. So, you know, don't think, you know, simply that you know about Krishna consciousness doesn't make you qualified to go back to Godhead. Knowing is not enough. You have to apply. Correct, no? Some more part of the drama we will see now. Yeah. Read it.
Laziness is not a big problem, Ram. In good association of our devotee friends, we can easily rise above it. Sleep with devotees who rise early and you will find yourself jumping up from your bed early morning.
That's great. Thank you for helping me to see how insignificant are my problems. Another problem I face is that when my chanting is poor, I tend to succumb to TV watching. I began watching cricket match in the beginning and now slowly I am being pulled by Maya to watch TV serials, Prabhu. Is that a small problem too?
Oh, that's very unfavorable one to our Krishna consciousness, Ram. TV serials are full of fiction stories, wrong teachings and mundane ideas cooked up by non-devotees. Absorbing our minds in that will not only distract us from Krishna consciousness, but can even throw us out of devotee association. Once we leave devotees, we become drowned in ocean of Maya and get lost. Where is the question of going back to Godhead?
Oh really? I just thought it's an occasional fun to feel a bit light in our life. What to do when Krishna consciousness becomes little difficult or boring, Prabhu? Also sometimes I call my old college days girlfriend and chat with her just for fun. Anyway, she is married and settled and I'm also settled. But occasionally we remember our college days and have light talk when my current family life becomes burdensome. Romance always is more thrilling than rough and tough family life, isn't it?
So, this fellow is married. Who? Who? Ram. He is married, but he had a love affair in the college days. So, he is thinking that, you know, married life is having so many rough and tough sides. Occasionally, when I call my old college girlfriend, we both can have some romantic talks or something. He's already thinking. So, what is Shyam saying?
If we don't follow four regulative principles strictly, we cannot get higher taste of Krishna consciousness. And without such higher taste, we cannot develop enthusiasm in spiritual life. And careless indulgence in sinful activities makes us glide in a downward spiral over time. A devotee of the Lord should see all women except one's wife as mothers and should never indulge in any sense gratificatory thoughts, plans or exchanges. At the same time, we can feel light in Krishna consciousness by watching devotional movies, watching kirtan melas, visiting temples, joining devotees in yatras, joining monthly Sankirtan festival, etc. You are a good soul and you have come to 16 rounds within a year of Krishna consciousness. You have been cared, nourished and protected by Narad Muni Prabhu, who appreciates your interest in Krishna consciousness. If you love him, you should also follow what he has taught you.
Thank you, Shyam Prabhu, for your firm yet loving admonition. Friends like you are very rare indeed in this world. Now I feel very refreshed.
That is ideal conduct of a devotee, Ram Prabhu. Very good. I was afraid that you will be upset with me for being so straightforward with you in this matter. And I even feared that you will break your relationship with me. I thank you for taking everything in a good spirit.
No, Shyam Prabhu. I think you are a great expert in keeping the ultimate goal in mind, besides dealing in a mature way without loss of relationship. I never felt hurt when you taught me the right principles. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Here, you know what is covered? Two more points, yes? The last part is that. Correct, you are right. One more is covered, if you see this. Which one? D also. D is the one you said just now. Small versus big problem. So in Ram's life, what was a small problem? He couldn't even discriminate. He thought like TV watching was one of the problems, isn't it? And another problem was he was trying to call a girlfriend from the college days, and apart, it's like extramarital kind of touch he was keeping. And he thought of both problems to be not almost similar. After this, which is bigger, which is smaller? Girlfriend businesses? Bigger problem. And what is the smaller problem? TV watching, which can be rectified. So he was not knowing. He thought that all these things are in one lot only. So one should know what is smaller problem, what is bigger problem. Therefore we say small, serious and grave habits. Like somebody has a nail biting habit. It's a small bad habit. They have to change. Somebody is unpunctual to the class. Small bad habit. Somebody has a habit of sleeping in the daytime for an hour or two. It's a small bad habit. And bigger bad habit means smoking, drinking, so taking tobacco regularly. So all these things. You know, people buy packets in the train. It looks very decently packed. But if you eat it, tobacco completely ruins the body. So it's a bad habit. Serious bad habit. And then grave bad habit means like illicit connections. Or forgery, or murder, or such kinds of things. They are very serious. Speaking lies. Speaking lies to boss, or releasing secrets of the company to other companies, and things like that. They are very grave, and one may not only lose one's job, one loses one's reputation, one may be blackmarked, if one has illicit connection, then one may lose one's life also. So all these things are more, therefore you should know the difference between simple, serious and grave habits. So that was one thing also we covered. So here, E point also we covered, if you see. Actually Ram and Shyam are good friends, so they wanted to preserve the relationship. But when Shyam had to admonish Ram strongly, because Ram is going to taking too many deviations, you saw, no? He's committing mistake after mistake after mistake. So Shyam thought that I am strongly telling him, my goal is to see he leads a pure life. That is the goal to be achieved. At the same time, if he too strongly tells him, what will happen? He will lose what? What will Shyam lose? He will lose relationship. Correct, no? So how many of you felt Shyam's correction for Ram was very politely done in a mature way? Felt that correct, no? Yeah. So we also have to learn this. In our life, sometimes we take extreme situations. I mean, we correct in an extreme way. And by that correction, then the correction also doesn't happen in the person. And the relationship is also broken. Correct, no? So we take to that extreme. Or some people are so mild that whatever other person says he did, they will nod their head. They will say, you know, you are a wonderful devotee. You know everything. You know. And they will never say you are in Maya. They will never reveal the truth. Some people are too soft in nature and they will never correct. So then that person, then the goal is also not achieved, although relationship may be maintained. People actually like people who don't correct them at all, who give them complete freedom. So then there is, then the Eventually the person may leave Krishna consciousness and go away. Correct, no? So in this skit which we saw, so these five things were covered in one skit which we did just now. So now I will show you another skit. I have written one for the Mataji's also. This was for the boys I wrote. One I have written for the Mataji's, let us see. Yeah. It's handling television, wanting grandparents. I have written two skits. One is wrong approach, one is right approach. Okay? Two of you, take it. Take the roles, two roles. Yeah. Take the mic. Yeah.
Mataji, my husband's grandparents have recently moved into our home and I am faced with a new problem. They are asking for a TV. But I am worried if TV comes to our home, then my children will get spoiled. And if I say no for getting TV, then grandparents will be upset. Don't know what to do.
So this Kamala Devi Mataji, she has come to Krishna consciousness. She is chanting 16 rounds now. She is offering bhoga to Krishna and taking only prasadam. And they have altar at home. Husband, wife, children, all are waking up in the morning and doing aarti, chanting Hare Krishna, putting up festivals in their home, Bhakti Vriksha program is happening in their house. So everything was smooth sailing. Until who came? Grandparents said, we have become very old now. You know, we want to come and live with our son. So we want to leave the village. And they have come to city now to live with their son. And this daughter-in-law is now worrying now. Kamala Mataji is worrying what to do now. Okay, so there is Apakva Mataji is there, Apakva Devi Dasi. What she is, how she is guiding. Yeah, what she said, yeah, go ahead.
Then you may have sent back your husband's grandparent to their native
house. Oh, sorry, two should be there. You may have to send. So, yeah.
Then you may have to send back your husband's grandparents to their native place. We can't bring TV, that Maya, into our homes. That will ruin our Krishna consciousness.
But that doesn't seem to be possible solution, Mataji. Because they have already come with all their luggage to our home and are planning to spend the rest of their life with us.
Then tell them a straight no for TV on their face. You have to make them understand how TV is one-eyed idiot box guru, which has ruined the brain of all people in the modern times.
But I don't consider myself qualified to instruct them, Mataji. They are very old in age and they will not like to hear anything like that from me. Also, my husband will be upset if I do that.
Then tell your husband to get another separate house for them in the city and put them there. Let them watch TV, movie, whatever they wish, ruin their life.
My husband won't be able to afford that much house rent to go for two houses, Mataji. Also, his grandparents are too old and need bodily care and attention. Therefore, they have to stay only with us. They can't stay separately.
You see, in this world, if you don't fight out, you can't get justice. You ask your husband whether he wants you or his grandparents.
I am afraid to go for such a major step, Mataji, because my husband is also a Krishna conscious devotee.
If you cannot follow any of my suggestions, then why do you ask me these questions? Do what you wish and face the consequences of your actions.
Sorry, Mataji, if I upset you by my counter answers, I will not disturb you anymore with these questions.
So, this Apakva Devi Mataji is giving solutions which are called as jackpot no sponge solutions. you know what is it? It's like, sometimes somebody gives you a gift box, you open the box, inside there is a hand loaded with spring. As soon as you open the box, bam, it punches out your nose. That's the kind of solution she is giving. Because now if this Kamala Mataji goes and implements this, the whole house will be disturbed. Husband disturbed, grandparents, everybody will be disturbed. Not a very feasible solution. Let us see a mature solution now. Same situation, yeah.
Dear Satyavati Mataji, you are one of the most senior devotees of our community. I am facing a problem for which I wanted a solution from you. My husband's grandparents have recently moved into our home and I am faced with a new problem. They are asking for a TV, but I am worried if TV comes to our home, then my children will get spoiled. And if I say no for getting TV, then grandparents will be upset. Don't know what to do.
This is a problem practically in every home, Kamala Devi Dasi. You have a 3 BHK house and I am sure you will be giving a separate room with attached bathroom for your grandparents. You can keep the TV also in that room only. Let them watch whenever they wish.
What if my children go there and watch TV too?
That may happen time to time. Keep your children nicely engaged in other activities. Also, bring your grandparents to our Bhakti Vriksha program. Once they develop interest, they will lose taste for TV and will ask you to dispose it, or they will watch only devotional videos in TV, and thus there will be no danger for your children.
Thank you, Mataji. I will try this. My grandfather keeps reciting Ramcharitmanas and has great respect for Lord Ram, and my grandmother is fond of bhajans. I will try to bring them to Krishna consciousness with your help. Maybe you can visit our home once they arrive and inspire them in Krishna consciousness.
Surely, Kamala Mataji, it's my great pleasure to be of some service to you. Such old people are very tender and we have to handle them carefully and respectfully. Hari Bol.
See how much different? Balancing extremes. So there's a big difference between handling, rough handling and maturely handling. See here, what were the two extremes? Any of you can say in this kit, what were the two extremes? Like Kamala Mataji was a devotee. She wants what ambience at home? Krishna conscious ambience for her child, for her husband and herself. And what do the grandparents want? They want a TV. And many a times old people keep on watching TV all day. Any time of the day they will put. So that is what is the extreme. One wants materialistic extreme and one wants spiritual extreme. So then how to resolve it? It requires maturity. You can see how Satyadeva Maharaj is resolving it very maturely. So most often in grihastha homes, these are real life situations. You will see that one has to face them. So now there are more items which I showed you in the beginning. Please read the heading.
Not get into controversial arguments. Ideas.
One example I'll tell you. Once a devotee was in the sick room. Earlier we used to call it sick room. Now we call it health room. So that they'll become healthy very quick. So we call it as a health room. So in the health room, one devotee was lying and he was very feverish and everything. So another devotee went to meet him. He was his friend. So he touched his head and said, "Oh Prabhu, you are very feverish. Have you taken medicines?" He said, "Yes Prabhuji. Today morning only I went to that Ayurvedic doctor. He has given me some powder. I am taking," he said. That devotee said, "What? Ayurvedic medicine? Ayurvedic medicine takes, long time. You have fever, Prabhu, just put some antibiotics. In 3 days you will be completely well. Why are you unnecessarily wasting your time with this Ayurvedic medicines?" Then that devotee who was lying, he said, "Prabhu, Ayurvedic medicines originally come from Lord Dhanvantri. He himself is the father of Ayurvedic medicine. You go to any Ayurvedic doctor, they have the Vishnu Smurti behind them. And Dhanvantri carrying that kalash in his hands. So Prabhu, my family, my father, my mother, we all take only Ayurveda, we never touch allopathy," he said. Then that devotee who came to meet him, he said, "But what do you think, allopathic medicines, where are they coming from? Ultimately Krishna says, aham sarvase Prabhu. All things in his creation come from Krishna only. How do you mean to say that allopathy is atheism and Ayurveda is, God consciousness, something like that? The whole world is taking and you are allopathy medicines." So then this devotee was telling, "Okay Prabhu, if you like allopathy, you take, but I am happy with Ayurveda," I said. Then the devotee said, "Then you are going to be in the health room for 1 month. You won't come out." He was telling. And then it became a big tussle and the sick devotee, sat down in his bed and started standing up, and both of them were having a big sound. And the manager came there, "Pabuji, what is this big noise going on?" And then the sick devotee said, "Pabuji, I was peacefully sleeping. This fellow came and disturbed my sleep." So how this fellow lost his cool head? That is because they got into a controversial argument. Somebody asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, should we take Ayurvedic medicines or allopathic medicine. Prabhupada said, just do the needful. What did he say? He said, if Ayurvedic medicine works, it's very good. And you tried it 2, 3, 4 days, not working. Take, put some allopathic medicine, get rid of the disease and go ahead with Krishna service. That is, just do the needful, he said. Okay, go ahead, next one.
Should be mature, sober, to guide according to time, place, circumstances.
Yeah, these are all extremes. Exam time, sadhana. Like exam time, our devotees just chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds and go to exam. We even compromise on the whole morning arati program and everything. They just chant 16 rounds and go for the exams. So the preachers have to be a little mature, knowing the situation of the boys. If a preacher says, the entire morning program you have to do for 2.5-3 hours, I mean, the boys sometimes may struggle with their studies. Similarly, health versus service. If somebody's health is not good, no service should be demanded from them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, first the health should be proper, and then sadhana, and then service, like that he says. And guiding a surrendered devotee versus independent devotee, is it same or different? Completely different. A surrendered devotee, he will agree to what a nice guidance you are giving. Independent devotee, you have to give him independence. You can suggest him. You can suggest. He mostly wants suggestions from you. Who? Independent devotee. But surrendered devotee may want instruction, may want a valuable instruction or order. So according to Deshkala Patra, you have to guide. Like my special master went to some homes. I went with him once. So in one home he saw there were demigods on the altar. And then they put Radha Krishna on the altar also. The devotee said, Maharaj, my parents are all demigod worshippers. If I remove these pictures from the altar, they will feel unhappy. Maharaj said, no problem. You have the Radha Gopinath picture, big, in the middle. They allowed you to put it here. You see them and worship them. And then after the arati is done for them, you can offer it to all the demigods also. After that, they will get the prasad of the Lord. He said, there is no problem, Maharaj said. So 1 month later, I went with Maharaj to another home. So he told Maharaj, Maharaj, I made a new altar in my home. And then he said, but there are also demigods whom I have kept down and Lord Krishna I have kept here. So, and I thought I will not remove them because my elderly members of the family come on and off here. If they find them in the altar, they'll be happy. And Maharaj told him, okay, you can keep the demigods in the sides and Krishna in the front. So all of them are taking darshan of Krishna. You know, like that, you know. So then after 1 month, I went to another home with Maharaj. There, it was one very senior devotee. I mean, he later on got initiated and everything. So when Maharaj and we went to that house, we saw a big, beautiful altar he had made, Radha Gopinath, Gauraneta, everything. And there was one bag, you know, with cloth kind of thing. And then he showed Maharaj, Maharaj, inside this all the demigods are there. He said he had put them in a cloth and tied. And then Maharaj said, okay, you can give it away to your relatives who want to worship them. Like that he said. So according to the time, place, circumstance, he gave them instruction. Yeah. Next one, see the? See, yeah?
See and fan the spark to bring out the best from those in one's care.
Like, you know, Prabhupada saw the hippies. And although Prabhupada said, America is full of materialism and students are turning into hippies, Prabhupada criticized, but he didn't just criticize, he lived with them in Bavari. And then he made them chant Hare Krishna, he cooked and fed prasadam to them, made them all devotees. So in this way, Prabhupada saw one spark in hippies. What was it? They had an inclination for music. And they had an inclination for searching for truth. So he took that inclination and fanned it and made them all big devotees. Same with Haridas Thakur. He saw that the prostitute who was coming, you know, she heard Haridas Thakur's chanting. And 3 days she heard, and then third day she became a devotee. So even in a prostitute, Haridas Thakur could see some good quality. You can see that. Similarly, Prabhupada could see some good quality even in hippies. In this way, they both brought out the best without blaming. Generally, we go to the extremes. If somebody has bad qualities, we say, yeah, good for nothing, we say. Or somebody has good quality, then we say, oh, he is everything. So we go to the extremes. But Prabhupada and Haridas Thakur could bring out the best even from one who is degraded. Yeah.
Be a Saragrahi, the essence collector, and not Bharagrahi, burden carrier.
Yeah, you will find those with negative mindset, even devotees, I am telling you, when they argue, they will say, oh Prabhu, Kali Yuga ka zamana aa gaya, Kali Yuga has come. Now, Prabhuji, no preaching will work. And all are completely degraded souls, good for nothing. You know, we have to just waste our time going here, going there. You know, now Kali has already widely spread now. And the other person will say that, you know, still we can always make an effort to preach. What effort, Prabhuji? It's all like pouring ghee in ashes. It is simply useless. Manda, sumanda batayo, manda bhagyahi upadruta. Bhagavatam says, people are all dull-headed in Kali Yuga. Tatascha anudinam dharma satyam shaucham dayakshama kalena barina rajan nankshati ayuh balam smriti. People are weak in body, weak in mind. They have no ability to practice Krishna consciousness. I don't think we can do any preaching. You just sit and do your own bhajan. Like that people talk. But then Bhagavatam also says many positive things about Kali Yuga. Prabhu, no matter how much kalau dosha nidhe rajan, asti yekan, one good quality is there. What is that? Kirtanatyeva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. So, Saragrahi means he captures the honey from the flower. Honeybee doesn't carry the whole bush. He only takes the honey. So, Saragrahi means what is the essence of Kali Yuga? The holy name is the essence of Kali Yuga. So, he has full confidence that the holy name can actually transform even the most degraded living entities. So, in this way, Saragrahi doesn't go to the wrong extreme. And at the same time, he doesn't say Kali Yuga is so wonderful that there are no problems. He doesn't say. He is able to recognize the problem on one hand. On the other hand, he has firm faith in the Bhagavatam's promises that it can be applied. So, he is a very balanced head. Next one.
Be able to adjust details without changing core principles.
Yeah. Like for example, in one marriage, basket was put inside which there was a kitten. So now, when a man was getting his daughter married, he arranged for similar basket along with the kitten. And the pujari came there and asked, what is this? You arranged a basket and a kitten, what for? He said, do you know your father was my grandfather's pujari in those days? He told the brahmana, you know, they told me that they had like this. In my father's marriage, this kind of thing was there, I heard. They had arranged, so I copied the same thing, he said. Then he told, you see, why the basket was put? Because the kitten was moving around here and there, passing stool and urine here and there. It was contaminating the ingredients kept for yajna. In order to keep it away, what we did? Then it was put in a basket. It's not that you have to get a basket and the kitten from the market. So because he didn't understand the principle, he captured only the detail. So any of you can tell me, what was the principle for which the basket and kitten were put? What was the principle? If you know the principle, then detail you can adjust, make different things. What is the principle? Yeah, that is correct. But one word you have to say. What is the principle? One word only. Yes? Cleanliness. That's all. That is the principle. Cleanliness. Now, once you know this principle, cleanliness, then you can put it in a basket or catch the kitten and leave it in the market somewhere or put him in the terrace or somewhere and give him some biscuit and leave him there. And you can do 24 details you can do, provided you know the principle. But if you don't know the principle, you will simply imitate the detail. Correct, no? So copying detail is useful. That's a very big topic. Yeah, see the smaller and bigger picture. Already in the drama we covered this. Be extending and sacrificing like fish. Okay. So now let's take some questions now. Harshad Poo is asking, does Kundali play any role in deciding devotional love of a person? Some astrologer says that there is some specific stars should locate at right places in a person will have inclination towards spiritual life. Please guide. Actually, it is true that there are certain nakshatra in which people are born, by which they have done some purva janma sukriti, due to which they will have a religious inclination. For example, if you take the birth date of a person, you add all the numbers together. That is called they call it as a basic number. So if the number amounts to 2 or 4 or 8 or 9, so they are all very religious people, very religious minded people. Number 7, very kind hearted people, generous people, number 7 like that. So that's called numerology, but numerology is based on astrology only, finally, if you see. We can say that the religious mindset or pious mindset is there if one's nakshatra is favorable, that is true. But that doesn't assure that you will become serious in Krishna consciousness. That may be like a favorable wind for you. But Krishna consciousness actually comes in you very strongly by the association of a powerful Krishna devotee. So you can see Dasiputra, who was born after being a Gandharva in heaven. You know, what devotional activities he had before? Nothing. He was the Gandharva, he committed some mistake. Along with Apsaras, he was singing some kind of duet type of song, and all the devatas cursed him to become a Dasiputra. So he became Dasiputra, he had no Sukriti, but who gave him Sukriti? Bhakti Vedantas. Chaturmas they stayed. So in this way, from devotees we can get Sukriti and we can advance. We don't need any big past account for Bhakti. So, okay, Dheeraj was asking, what if a person has done many devotional activities throughout his life but don't know Bhagavata 8.5 verse, Anta Kalech Mameva, is the only condition? No. And Krishna is not so foolish that, you know, sorry you forgot to memorize this verse, so I cannot take you back. He's not going to say that. Even if he doesn't know Anta Kalech Mameva, all life he has done is bhakti. There is one verse in Varaha Samhita, in which Lord says, all life if a person has done devotional service, at the time of death he is in comatose state. Lord says that, although his body is lying like a wood, practically inactive, I personally come and take him back to my Godhead, he said. Because when he was young, hale and healthy, he utilized his body for my service. Lord says like that. Deepak was asking, was Ashwatthama got cursed from Lord Krishna? Actually, Ashwatthama committed many blunders. Naturally, Lord Krishna was displeased with him. Although he lives for a long time, but he lives in suffering, unlike the other Charanjeevis. Yeah. Abhay Prabhu is asking, how to understand attitude of different preachers like His Holiness Rana Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj? Both are 180 degree opposite. How to learn from both at the same time, as while hearing from one also leads to grasping their attitude to some extent? Actually, you can know that every Vaishnava, you know, he is inspired by Krishna in different ways. As well as Radhana Swami Maharaj is a community builder, and he stands for love and care, and he stands for relationships with Vaishnavas, and he stands for sensitivity, not hurting anybody, and he stands for binding everyone together to such a degree that he has very sweet relationships with not only all the four Sampradaya people, also with many other denominations, you know, in different countries. So that has been his take, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj's take. And His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, he stands for truth, and he will speak the truth at any cost. And even if somebody may misunderstand, he will say that you try to understand, don't misunderstand. And at the same time, His Holiness Bhakti Goswami Maharaj has written a book called as, Speaking Strongly in Prabhupada's Service. You know, he has written, I read that book, I liked it very much also. It's a very pure presentation. Srila Prabhupada was also like that. It was very straightforward, and he presented the philosophy uncompromisingly. And Prabhupada never entertained any Mayavadis, he didn't entertain any Sahajayism. And he would say straight on the face. So His Holiness Bhakti Goswami stands for purity, And Radhanaswami Maharaj stands for maturity. So we need a combination of both, purity and maturity. So you can take from both. You go to Swami Bhakti Goswami Maharaj and hear his lectures and develop purity. 100% pure devotion service we want. And he is uncompromising in that. I have been to Swami Bhakti Goswami's farm in this thing, Baroda. I have seen that. Because I had met Bhakti Goswami Maharaj in Juhu way back in 91. In my very early days of Krishna consciousness, he was leading Guru Puja. So I have deep affection and respect for him. And then in 93 I got initiated by Zolnath Radhanaswami Maharaj, and I have deep affection for him also. So from Radhanaswami Maharaj I learned Vaishnava etiquettes, how to be careful not to offend Vaishnavas, and how to be more accommodating, how to be more forgiving, how to be more tolerant. Those things I learned from Radhanaswami Maharaj. And when I hear lectures of Prabhupada or Zolnath Bhaktivikas Swami, I learn, oh, how to be strict, how to be pure, uncompromising. So, and both are valuable qualities, correct, no? Is there any problem in that? So, you understand different personalities stand for different things. Isolence Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj is a Vaishnava etiquette minister. He has very sweet Vaishnava qualities and behavior. So, every Vaishnava stands for something very powerful. You take that inspiration from them. Isolence Lokanath Swami Maharaj. He has spread worldwide. Sankirtan to practically 150 countries, 150 cities across the globe, world padayatra worldwide. As well as Gopakshana Maharaj stands for book distribution. Prabhupada has given him the task of, you know, printing and publishing and distributing books in various languages. And every time Maharaj comes up with, this is one book has come in Chinese language, Bhagavad Gita. So this time, I mean last year, Pune stood first in the world in book distribution. So when I went and told my spiritual master, Radhanaswami Maharaj, that Maharaj Pune stood first in the world, Maharaj said, it's no wonder. He said, do you know why? I asked why. Because Gopakrishna Maharaj was GBC in Pune. Why will he not come first? He said, I know he has motivated all of you to distribute, he said. So in this way, you can see that every guru is differently empowered by Krishna. In order for you to understand, I'll give a simple example. Take a Kohinoor diamond. And from different angles you can see, different colors, correct, no? Yellow color, orange color, blue color, green color. Like His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj stands for congregational outreach. I go to Bangladesh every year for a week. So I came to know there are 35,000 initiated devotees in Bangladesh. And another 7,000 16-rounders. It comes to 42,000. And all are disciples and followers of His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj in Bangladesh. There are more than 54 centers in Bangladesh. And the youth preaching, devotees there, like our Guru Gauranga Prabhu, Pandit Gadadhar Prabhu, Devashish Narada Prabhu, such a gem-like devotees there. And they are all disciples of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. And I have a very deep heart-to-heart relationship with them. I go every year there. And His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj was ordered by Prabhupada to, you know, give initiation to 50,000 devotees. And he has already crossed 50,000 now. So nobody should compare. He gave 50,000 here, this guru was only 5,000. We should not say like that. Everybody is differently empowered to do different things. I don't personally face any problem with any guru, and I actually derive lot of nourishment and spiritual shakti by associating with all the different gurus, as well as, because they are all ultimately whose followers? Prabhupada, what is the problem? They are all following Prabhupada, our founder, Acharya. And not only from them, I derive a lot of energy from their disciples also. Okay. Suraj Bujbal from Assam is asking, actually in this material world, people can easily deal with Maya by Krishna consciousness when their life is in full swing and problems. But how to deal with Maya when life gives you huge material success by misguiding you that this is your hard accomplishment? Enjoy it since you deserve it. Yeah, you are right. Janma Ishwari Yashoda Shribir Yedamana Madahpuman Naivahatya Vidatum Vaitvama Kinchana Gocharam. Kuntimanani said the same thing what you say here. She said if somebody is very handsome, somebody is very rich, somebody is born in a Brahma, Brahmana Kulam or something like that, very learned, somebody has a doctorate from foreign university. So in this way one can become very proud of achievements, material achievements, and one often becomes forgetful of Krishna. That's very true. But if somebody possesses these opulences and doesn't forget Krishna, that means that Krishna's mercy is on him. Ambarish Maharaj, king of the whole world, but he's always going to Krishna temple. Yudhishthir Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Arjuna, you know, Prithu Maharaj, Gaya Maharaj, like that, all these great souls. So, I would suggest that in case you have such a success in your life, then stay in very close touch with Vaishnava devotees, pure Vaishnavas, and live in their guidance, and always be surrendered to them, then you are safe. Okay, Aniruddha Prabhu is asking, does chanting rounds every day, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, associating with devotees through YouTube and offering food prepared to Supreme Lord, appease the Lord's anger at least a little? Why should Lord be angry with you? Lord is not angry with you. Lord is sorry for you. Lord is sorry that you have turned away from Him and you are wandering in the material world. He feels pity. In fact, He is in your own heart. There is one beautiful verse. Madhrikpapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya swamshena sarvatana brin manasi pratita pratyak dhishe bhagavate brihate namaste. Gajendra says in this prayer, in this world people are living like pashu, like animals which are bound by the karma bandhana. People also living in this world like Gajendra caught by the crocodile. But Lord is coming in this world to deliver all of us, vimokshanaya. He is muktaya, he has liberated himself, but he is not proud. See, only a person who is not bound by ropes can liberate you. And Lord is free, he is not bound by any ropes, he is muktaya. Yet he is very merciful, bhuri karunaya, he says. Somebody may say that, okay, he is liberated and he is very merciful, but he may be busy with many other things. He may not be very attentive. He says, no. Namo alayaya, he says. He's very attentive. Like that he says. So, but somebody may say, okay, he may be attentive, but how much attention can he pay to so many millions of souls? I am one of them. No, swa amshena sarvatanubran. He is in your own heart. And every one of you have your own private paramatma, paying attention to every one of your movements, activities. So in this way, Lord is not angry with you. Lord is sorry that you are turned away and you are suffering. He wants to see you get rid of all sufferings and return back to Him. Shubham Prabhu is asking, whatever you said is correct, Aniruddha Prabhu. You continue like this, eventually you will please the Lord more and more and come closer to Him. Shubham Prabhu is asking, I found myself now as at Jnani level of Krishna consciousness. As devotees say that everything does not have any expectations, but in turn, they want only to serve Lord, but for me, I have no such feeling. How to grow towards such a devotee level? You see, Prabhupada, there was one family where two brothers had joined Prabhupada, Brahmananda Prabhu and Gargamani Prabhu. So Gargamani Prabhu in the early days, his name was what? Garga Rishi, I think. In the early days, when he met Prabhupada, all devotees were falling on the ground and Gargamani was not falling, he was just standing. So he told Prabhupada, Swamiji, everybody falls at your feet, but I don't feel like what to do. Prabhupada said, you bow down first, then you will feel like. He said, then the feelings will come. He said, and then he started bowing. After that, he never stopped bowing, he always bowed. Similarly, you don't worry whether you are Jnani type or Bhakta type, you just do Bhakti. You dance with the devotees, sing with the devotees, take part in the programs, perform devotional service. Lord in your heart will be pleased with you and He will cleanse the Jnani type nature of being a bit impersonal and He will awaken the devotional, you know, inclination in you. Also, another thing, you need to meet devotees whom you love very much and see them practicing devotional service sincerely, seriously. Then your Jnani type will be evaporated. Then you will be Bhakta type after that. That was the last question. Okay, that was the last question, Shubham Prabhu. So I've answered all your questions. So the topic of balancing extremes is a very deep subject. I try to put it in just 45 minutes, which is not very easy to do. The subject is very deep, but I've given you a clue right in the beginning that we have to cultivate mode of goodness behavior as taught in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. And those who are becoming Krishna conscious devotees, they have an extra edge over the common masses because they get to read many, many real life situations in the Srimad Bhagavatam from various lives of various great kings and pure devotees. and they get to learn and they understand how to make decisions in life, how to not be driven by extremes, but how to be balanced. So there are the Bhagavatam abounds with pastimes which teach us on a practical level how to implement this balancing the extremes. And Srila Prabhupada said, all it takes is a little intelligence, he said, to know how to adjust the things according to the situation. And that intelligence is Viveka Buddhi, which is applied by Krishna. When you study the Shastra regularly and you apply them in your life, chanting Hare Krishna, attending all the programs and keeping a cool head and not become degraded by the four bad habits of gambling, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex. When one avoids those sinful activities and leads a clean life and rising in the morning, chanting, all these things are mode of goodness activities. So as mode of goodness predominates in our system, we will gradually be, you know, supplied because of our bhakti yoga. Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam piyantite. So he will give us guidance on how to decide in specific situations which you all face in your own personal lives.